Well, it's midweek here at Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and wherever you are, unless, of course, you're listening somewhere around the world where it's already maybe Thursday. But for us, it's 2 weeks away from Ash Wednesday and the start of Lent, and a blessed February 20th to you. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, and the show team is in place. Rich is running the controls. Jeff is doing the social media. Ryan is screening your calls, and we expect to get, I think, a good number of calls today, Debbie, because we're going to put a topic out there that I think everyone has experienced at one point, and we hope that it's been, we're going to talk about, have tears been cleansing for you? And we know them, tears, for the most part, they can be tears of joy, but tears are often tears of pain and sorrow and sadness and grief. But have you come through that and experienced maybe some healing, some cleansing, and gotten something very difficult out of your life, out of your soul, out of your mm-hmm. system? That's what we want to talk about today, Debbie. So welcome, Deb. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm crying right now because I can't stop this coughing. So I don't know. I've been crying out to the Lord, please, Lord, stop this coughing. But I'll tell you what, you know, if that's the most I have to worry about today, then okay. You know what? We'll just accept it and move forward. But Jerry, you brought this topic to the table because have tears been cleansing for you? And we all show emotion. Men show emotion. Women show emotion. Children share their tears. Okay, tears are so natural to us, whether we cry on the inside or we show it on the outside. And it's very important that we understand where these tears come from, what's the purpose of these tears, how they can be healing, how they can be cleansing. And so have tears been cleansing for you? Have there been things in your life that you just constantly cry out to the Lord for help, for relief? We want to hear from you about these tears. These tears mean a lot because, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, dry up those tears, just suck it up, keep going forward. No, that's not true. You know, we all go through periods in life where we need to have those grieving times, those sad times, those times when we really just have to understand what's going on about ourselves and what's going on around us. So have tears been cleansing for you? 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Did I get that right, Jerry, or do you want to go for a different angle?
No, you did, absolutely. And here's a very special invitation for anyone who has never cried before. We want to hear from you. 833-288-3986. I jest a little bit. Of course, we all cry when we're infants, I guess. But you know, it could be over a relationship, loss of a loved one. It could be you just feel down, depressed. Maybe you've gone through depression. I've been through depression, and as I've said on the radio here before, I never knew the human body had so much water in it, so many tears mm-hmm. that it could cry. And it is cleansing. And you read, you can go online. I just did a very quick Google search, Debbie, and there are countless website results that talk about the healing properties of tears, how tears are cleansing. And so just from a physiological point of view, they do help to kind of wash a lot of this negative stuff out of our body. So mm-hmm. what we want to know is, and this is kind of a touching, maybe sensitive, poignant program, but have you looked back over your life, or maybe when you were in the midst of a period of your life and you were shedding many, many tears, and God willing, you realized kind of when things started to get better for you that, hey, you know what, the cry felt good. In fact, sometimes a good cry does feel good, doesn't it, Debbie? Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. My dad, who died in 2010, he was a strong, strong man, interior core strength, tough Sicilian. And I never really saw him cry. Never did. I never did, except when, and I remember this so vividly, I was at my son's soccer game, and my dad came to it. He came out to Arizona. He was still, they were still living in New Jersey at the time, and he came out to Arizona, and that's when I told him that I had cancer. And my dad held me on the end of the soccer field, and he just cried, and I could feel his tears coming down to my face. And I was like, wow. And it was so amazing to feel that I actually felt guilty telling him that I had cancer at the time. And it's so interesting what tears can do. And I do, Jerry, you know, having raised two boys, I always wanted them to express their emotions. I think it's I don't know how you feel about this, Jerry. Tell me this, because I think it's going to be easy to fill the phone lines with women, because we can, I think we can well up in tears and emotion very easily. I think sometimes for men, it can be difficult, but it's so incredible to see a man moved with emotion. And I don't know, how were you raised, Jerry? Were you allowed to cry? I mean, you know how some boys are, you know, told they can never cry, and there is such healing in it.
I would say, looking back, we were probably discouraged from showing a lot of emotion in my family. And I'll be honest with everybody, I think that has impacted me during my life. And there are times when, you know, it doesn't take a lot to trigger the tears, because they're down there, you know, and they haven't come out. But I agree with you, Debbie. I'd love to hear from some of the men who are listening right now. And, you know, maybe it was, again, maybe it was a tragic thing that happened in your life. Maybe it was maybe there were tears of joy. You know, maybe you watched your little baby girl walk up the aisle and get married, or walk across the stage and get her diploma, you know, in college or something. So any situation where you cried during your life, and you just, you felt better afterwards, not just in the immediate, but, you know, in the long term, you just feel like, wow, you know, I needed to get that out. So, you know, not everybody's going to want to weigh in on this, because it could be a very personal thing. But, you know, that's the nature of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. You're never afraid to share personally. Neither are Debbie or I. And so, you know, we want to come to a better place, because, Debbie, there are a lot of people going through so much tough times right now, and they may cry every day. They may cry themselves to sleep at night, and they may be thinking, what's wrong with me? There's something wrong with me. I'm weird. You know, what's going to come out of all of this? And I think there's a chance for anyone who weighs in right now and says, you know what, I came through it, I cried my way through it, I'm stronger, I'm better, the tears helped, the tears were a good thing. And that could give encouragement to somebody who's maybe being weighed down heavily right now.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe showing emotion, strong emotion, it's very cathartic in many ways, because it allows you to, you know, release all that psychological burden that you're holding on to. I mean, so what's the alternative? To scream and throw something or do something like that? I mean, crying, I think, also allows you just to kind of relax and not have all those negative emotions. So let's talk about it today. Have tears been cleansing for you? This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. When we come back, we're going to the phones to hear what you have to say about it.
Good to have you with us. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Jerry Usher with Debbie Georgiani. And you, have tears ever at some point in your life been cleansing for you? Have you had a good cry and felt better afterward? Or maybe a long stretch, maybe it was weeks or months, and you just cried a lot. But afterwards, you know, you just realize, you know, there are healing properties in tears. Crying has been said, you know, to psychologically make us feel better, to physiologically make us feel better. So if that's been your experience, share with us here, 833-288-3986. Don't forget, too, the Sunrise Morning Show, tomorrow morning at 6 Eastern Time if you're on the East Coast, probably right about the time you're getting up. If you're up really early on the West Coast, you get to hear Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim and the gang on the Sunrise Morning Show at 6 Eastern Time on most of these EWTN stations. And Debbie, one other thing while I have the microphone here.
Yes,
we're
just so excited
to let you know. KCRN, Colorado Springs, one of our affiliates, part of the Catholic Radio Network, is now broadcasting at 50,000 watts. Congratulations, you guys.
Yay.
It's a station that serves Colorado Springs, Denver, and Pueblo with solid Catholic programming from EWTN. So congratulations to Jim O'Loughlin and the whole team at the Catholic Radio Network. Debbie, we both have something going on here.
Yeah, I know. I just passed that coughing over to you. Sorry about that. Don't pass it back to me, okay? real quickly, before we get to Tom in Cleveland, I just wanted to say, Jerry, when I was bringing up my dad, that I never really saw him cry. You know, you jogged my memory. Actually, after I saw him cry when I told him I had cancer, I also saw him cry when the doctors told him that there was no more, there wasn't anything more they could do for his cancer and to basically go home and die. I saw him cry then, and then I saw him cry when he was able to walk me down the aisle. He was very, very frail, very sick, and we barely could make it down the aisle, but he was bawling. And so three times, and it's just amazing, I think, to see the person that you've always admired and looked up to, very strong man, father of six kids, and to see him cry, it just was, you got to see a piece of his heart, and that's pretty cool. Anyway.
But let me ask you this. Didn't it make you look up to him even more, you know, respect him more because he was able to show his emotions, be vulnerable like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I have to tell you, I hope you don't think this is like weird or anything, but he was, you know how some people have really beautiful cries and some people, you know, they call it the ugly cries or something like that. You know, people don't, the face kind of contorts a little. My dad had the most beautiful cry. He looked like a little boy crying, and it just, absolutely. My respect and love for him was so much, went up a million notches in those three times, those three encounters. So I just encourage men to share their emotions in that beautiful way. You know, it brings people together. It really does. It connects people at a level that you can't even describe.
So. Okay. We're going to hear what you have to say. Here's the phone number, 833-288-3986. You know how Take Two with Jerry and Debbie works. We put a topic out there, and it's your lived experience, your insights, your wisdom, your takes that inspire and educate not only us, but the whole world who's listening right now. So if tears have ever been a part of your life, maybe deep, deep sorrow, but afterwards, maybe after a single cry or a few weeks or months of crying over a certain situation, you felt better, you know, you got that out, and there was healing power in that. Share that experience so that others can know that it's possible. As Debbie said, we're going to Tom in Cleveland, who's listening on The Rock, to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hello, Tom, you are up first on the program today. Welcome.
Okay, hello, thank you. You know, I've never really realized it, but, you know, I've had the ability, if I could use that word, to cry for most of my life. And, you know, and as I got older, I'm retired now, I realized that sometimes, certainly over deep interior sadness when a loss of a child, the loss of a parent, you know, those types of things, rather than bottle up emotions, I have always been able to shed tears. And at first I was a little bit self-conscious of it. But as I got older, I also realized what a great example that is for children and others, is to allow yourself the cleansing. And there are, you know, physiological benefits of tears as well. And not to, you know, internalize your pain or your grief, and just to be able to express it. It's kind of like the abandonment that God can fill as you empty yourself. And when you feel that, you know, slowly you feel that healing grace of God through your tears. And I think that's a, you know, a real personal type of weeping. But I also think that you can cry and for other people that you don't know, or situations, or you meet somebody that you can just sense there's something really wrong in their life, or you hear about something wrong in their life, and you kind of share in their grief with, you know, maybe the gift of tears, where you are so sad for them and you're praying for them and you're shedding tears. And I don't understand how that works, you know, but I have had that experience where I'll cry for this person that I don't know because of their situation, and I feel really good about it as I'm praying and crying. So, you know, wow. I'm not sure how God uses that, but I believe that, you know, I feel it.
Well, Tom, you've said so much there. God bless you. Thank you for leading off. We asked for some men to call in, and you were the first one to call in. So thank you. And thank you for just sharing the fact that, you know, you kind of get this. You understand the dynamics of this, at least to a certain degree. And, you know, I'm reminded right away of the shortest verse in the Bible, which is John 11:35. It says Jesus wept, you know. And I'm reading just a little commentary here online here. It says the great wrath against death is subdued mood now into tears of love, of sympathy, and of deep emotion. So tears have a way of just changing the mood, the attitude, you know, kind of the disposition of where we are. And so it's very, very powerful in that regard too. So I'm glad you shared what you did. And I think you made some allusion to, you know, keeping these things stuffed down, you know, and that's dangerous. Debbie, you know that.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we keep our emotion stuffed down, even our tears, you know, mm-hmm. they're going to want out at some point. And right. that's what happens, I think, to a lot of people when they go through maybe bouts of, you know, grief or sadness or depression, especially when somebody dies. You know, we want to be strong, especially the men. You know, you go to the funeral and put those, you know, the sunglasses on. You don't want anybody to see that tiny little tear that came out, and that's all there was. But, you know, some men are just free with themselves, and they'll just bawl their eyes out. You know, I find mm-hmm. that to be very healthy and very, very. I respect men who can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, I'm glad you commented about Jesus wept, Jerry, because that's where I was going as well. And, you know, Tom, Jesus is our example. He's our greatest example. And what you said, when you said that you have those emotions that you can relate to others, you can, you know, empathize and show that compassion and relate to them and be an example for children to see, you know, having those beautiful emotions in tears, not just emotions like other people will say, well, just, you know, punch a pillow or, you know, scream out to the universe or something crazy like that. No, you're sharing a deep sense of who you are. And I think that's Jesus. I really do. And I think, Tom, you've tapped into something very wise. And I hope that a lot of young men are listening, because this is important. We live in a world right now where men don't even know how to be men anymore. And that's unfortunate. And we need to start, you know, re-educating people on what it means to be a male in this world. And that's important. The same with females too. But men, I think, unfortunately, they've been robbed of their masculinity. They've been robbed of so many things from this world. We need to bring it back in a very balanced, healthy way, in a Christ-like way. And that's what I think you're doing, Tom. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I can't add anything more to that. I'm just curious to hear some more thoughts from Tom, if you have anything else.
No, but I agree with what you have both said, and certainly you see that at the death of somebody, that women are able to express themselves and really find healing, you know, from their grief faster than men, because men believe that they have to keep it bottled up and you know, you said, suck it up and be a man and, yeah, I'm okay. No, you're not. You're suffering inside, and until you release that, you're not going to find that healing that comes with Christ. And, you know, Jesus wept, and yet he knew what the future was. How much more natural is it for us to grieve? It doesn't mean we don't have hope, or to cry, or, you know, express ourselves. So, yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely,
I think,
Tom,
it's important.
Thanks,
well, thank
Tom,
you so much for your program.
Oh, you're welcome,
thank
Tom.
You.
Thanks,
Tom,
for listening. God bless
yes,
you.
Yes, thank you.
And stay tuned in and be sure and support The Rock. Mm-hmm. Debbie, a lot of stations have their pledge drives coming up here in the next couple months. You're gonna be at The Rock, right?
I'm going to be at The Rock in April, the first weekend in April. And I'm so excited about it. We're going to have just a great, great pledge drive. So I'm hoping for full participation. I think it's going to be wonderful. Yep.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie on this Wednesday. Have tears been cleansing for you? We all cry during our lives at some point. Some more than others, some for different reasons than others. But have you had the experience of where a good cry made you feel a little bit better? Maybe this happens to a lot of people. You might cry when, you know, at night, and then you go to bed and you sleep a little bit better. Or maybe just in general in your life, you've gone through a period of grieving or, you know, shedding a lot of tears, and you found out that it was healing, it was cleansing, it brought you through that difficult, dark time. 833-288-3986. And Debbie, we're going to talk to Kathy next, who is listening on Guadalupe Radio in Texas. Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Hello. Yes, I wanted to share that I cry out to God and the Mary, the Memorare prayer all the time, because over my son and his family and some siblings who don't go to church, either it's too difficult with the little children, they don't get enough out of it, they go to these non-denominational churches that are performance-based and entertainment-based, and, you know, they're not leading by good example with their my grandchildren who do go to Catholic school, and it's really heartbreaking, you know, to see them drift away from the church. But they're, you know, upset with the priest scandals and the Pope's, some of the Pope's political stands and not dealing with the priest scandals and, you know, other things like that. And that's kind of their excuse, but I need some advice on how to deal other than prayer.
Right. Well, Kathy, you're a great mom, and understandably so, you're concerned about your family. That's the number one prayer request and intention we get from around the world. So you're not alone. We're all in the kind of in the same situation right now. Saint Monica should definitely be one of our go-to saints to help us. I'm sure you're enlisting her help. Saint Monica, Saint Padre Pio as well. Saint Joseph, the Memorare, absolutely. I say the Memorare every day, several times a day, actually, Kathy. So I couldn't agree with you more. Just a couple things I wanted to say to you. The Eucharist is what really can bring people back, and what should bring people back. The Eucharist, okay. Everything else are things that you know, have some elements that are hard to defend, like the priest abuse crisis and what's going on in the church, or even certain things that just don't feel right to some people. Okay, they can be hard to defend. Not the Eucharist. So what I would do is, when you go and receive the Eucharist, you know, you are so close to your family members. You are so close to everyone that has passed before you. You are so close to everybody at that moment. You know, place those people, place those beautiful souls that you care so much about on that altar. And allow yourself to enter into the mystery of the Eucharist, knowing that you are connected to those, you are keeping them connected to the Eucharist in a very spiritual way. The other thing I would do too, Kathy, is just say simple sentences to your family members, like, please, whatever you do, don't forget the Eucharist. Please, whatever you do, don't turn your back on the Eucharist. I remember vividly saying those words with my sister when my brother was leaving my home, and he was adamant about leaving the Catholic faith. And we both turned to him and said, please don't turn your back to the Eucharist, please. And years later, my brother came back strong into the faith, and he now works for the Catholic Church. The Eucharist is our source and summit, and that is what is going to bring your children back, I believe anyway. Eucharistic Miracles by Joan Carol Cruz, the book, absolutely amazing. You can learn about the miracles of that. Maybe you could share some of those if your children are willing to listen. But those are just some thoughts I have on it, because I have been meditating on this for many years now, and every time I do, it comes back to the Eucharist. What do you think, Kathy?
I think you're right, because, you know, especially with the children going to First Communion and making their, you know, like, you know, being involved in relatives' baptisms and christenings, and, you know, you're right about the Eucharist.
Right. Yeah. Kathy, great phone call. And you are, like Debbie said, you are far from alone. Saint Monica, pray to her. She shed many, many tears. And I can't imagine there's anything more moving to the heart of the Lord than the tears. You know, we see, Mary Magdalene? The woman who shed tears and you know, dried her tears on his feet with her hair. You know, just imagine, you know, how deeply moved Jesus was at that particular moment. So tears, I think, are not only cleansing for us, but I think they're very, very moving to the Lord as well, when their you know, intention is for something like what yours are, Kathy. So be hopeful, be very, very hopeful, because God wants them to be close to Him and in the church more than you or we or anybody possibly could.
That's right.
With your prayers, your sacrifices, and your tears, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Take two with Jerry and Debbie.
Keep listening, Kathy. There's more calls coming up.
We got Chris and Karen and Mary, and there's an open line for you. Have tears been cleansing for you? 833-288-3986.
We're So glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're asking, have tears been cleansing for you? And you are just having a very deep conversation about this, and people are learning, people are growing. So thank you for sharing from your heart. We really appreciate it. We're going to move next to, real quickly, Mary in Toledo, Ohio. Please hold on. I think your story is going to be a confirmation for Kathy. I just feel it. So Mary, hold on, please. But we take everybody in order. So Chris in Madison, Ohio, listening on the Station of the Cross, you're up next on Take Two. Welcome.
Hi, welcome. Second time caller, long time listener.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Chris.
I'm going to try to make this as quick as I can. I am 69 years old, and I have not shed a tear in between 30 and 40 years, somewhere around there. I have not cried. If you can believe that a 69-year-old man is in RCIA classes in Madison to become Catholic, I am. I'm told I'll be confirmed in late April of this year. For 20 years, I was an evangelical Protestant. I just want to say that I believe that any Christian Catholic man that can sit down and cry has been truly blessed, is truly fortunate.
It is. Well, there is such thing as the gift of tears, Chris. Maybe you've heard of that before. And that can be for a variety of different reasons that people cry. But it is. It's a gift. It's a blessing. I think every man, every woman obviously has the capacity to cry. Tears are within all of us. And it just depends on how various things in our lives strike us. Perhaps it's a case that, you know, you have been very, very fortunate, very blessed that over the last 30 or 40 years you haven't had any, reasons to be sad or grieve. I'm not saying that you haven't. I don't know. But I would just guess, and I want your thoughts on that, but I'm just going to guess. I'm going to guess here, Chris. You're coming into the Catholic Church, the fullness of the faith. You're going to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity on your tongue, into your body in that first Holy Communion. And perhaps make a confession and confirmation and all of that. Chris, a lot of people cry at that Easter vigil. So I'm just telling you, my brother, be ready if the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of tears there. But anyway, what do you think about what I said before that?
Well, the whole point is I don't know what happened, but I have had reasons to cry. I mean, wars in Southeast Asia as a boy and, you know, death of the family and divorce, the whole bit. I've had, I don't know really what happened. All I know is I haven't. And I was talking to a doctor not so long ago, and I said, "Doctor, if I had one wish, it would just be to be able to go somewhere all day and just cry in private. But it just doesn't come. It just doesn't happen." And I think that people can and do, especially men, are truly fortunate and truly blessed, because it's got to come out, and it will come out somehow, you know. Tears are...
Go ahead.
A very good way to come out, you know.
Absolutely. Chris, I have to tell you, I completely agree with you. A couple of things I just wanted to say. Early congratulations and welcome home. The Easter vigil, when you come into the church, please know, feel all of us, the Take Two family, with you. We'll be thinking of you. We'll be lifting you up in prayer. And when you, I hope, I pray you get those gift of tears. I hope you come back to the pew to sit down, and you are just sobbing with this beautiful gift that you've been given. I pray that for you. I want that for you so badly, because it is an incredible freeing feeling. You feel, I can't describe it. You just feel so incredibly loved at that moment. It just connects you in ways you can't even put words to it. And I'm just going to be praying that for you, but I know the whole Take Two family will be praying as well. And I agree with you on everything you said. And I hope that others are listening. And this is the beauty of the Catholic Church. You know, we have a lot of things we can criticize the Catholic Church about right now with everything that's going on. I get that. but this is the real heart and beauty of the Catholic Church. And you just demonstrated that with your journey into the church, with your understanding of yourself. And now I just can't wait to see what the good Lord has planned for you on the next leg of the journey, because you're only 69 years young, Chris. You got so much more work to do. I can't wait to see what the good Lord has planned for you.
Thank you for those kind thoughts and prayers, but I just think about men a lot, because our culture can poison us, and it does, you know. And I wish that all men could cry, because it's very cleansing. And I wish I could. Maybe I will. I'm told I'll be confirmed in late April, and I don't know what will happen, but the things to complain about the church are way above my pay grade. I don't even want to talk about them. I just want to be the best Catholic I can. But my whole point in this discussion, and then I'm going to get off the phone, is that when it comes to being a man, any Catholic Christian man should never, ever, ever be ashamed to cry. Because it is a true gift from God. That's all.
It is. It is. Chris, God bless you. Our prayers go with you on this final leg of your journey. Yeah, into the fullness of the Catholic Church. And again, I repeat, I'm not a prophet, Chris. I don't know anything for sure, but I have a feeling that one or two tears might trickle down your cheek at that Easter vigil, because what a moving experience that is. And just real quickly, you know, this thought occurred to me, from a previous call, Debbie, when the woman said, you know, she has kids who are away from the church, and a couple of them maybe because of the priest abuse scandals and all of this.
That would be Kathy.
Kathy. And I can understand people being scandalized by that and questioning the church and all of that. But when it comes to tears, I would think those of us who fully understand what the church is, who the church is, who Jesus is, mm-hmm. what the Eucharist is, we ought to be shedding tears of sorrow and deep sorrow for what's going on. I mean, right. this is a moment we all should be shedding tears over what's going on with our church. And so I just wanted to mention that, because that is something that we need to pray and really tears of repentance. And sorrow
purification
for
too.
Purification, mm-hmm. For what's going on.
Well,
so.
And Jerry, you know, we kind of use that term church, you know, in a broad way. But you know what? The truth of it is, we have to separate it. We have to separate what our Christian faith is, and then the humanness, the sinfulness of people in the church. There's a big difference, and if we don't separate those two, they can get meshed together, and then we throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that's not a good thing, because then we lose out, right, Jerry?
Yeah, that's when people walk away, you know, mm-hmm. is because they don't make that distinction. So we pray for all who are having their faith shaken because of all that's going on. All right, we continue along. Great, great calls. If you're on the line, please stay there. We're going to get to every one of you. Mary is next in Toledo, Ohio, mm-hmm. listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on Annunciation Radio. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
So, I received a really strong prompting to call, and thanks to Ryan, he actually had to call me back because I had to hang up because I was so nervous. But I called because a while back I was in spiritual direction, and I was reading Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales, and in it he made the suggestion that this person that he was writing to should do a general confession. So I asked my spiritual director about it, and we got signed up to do it on a certain day. And I'll tell you, the spiritual warfare that I experienced, especially the day before, was really powerful. I could hardly, you know, get my head out of my hands. I mean, it was really, really oppressed. But I showed up the next day. I went to Mass, but I didn't receive communion. And I went in and I did my general confession. A general confession is just a confession of sins that you've already, you know, been absolved for, but you just sort of look through your entire life and go back over all of the sins that have occurred in your life. And it took about an hour, and when I was finished, he gave me absolution, and then he gave me the communion that I had waited to receive. And I cried in the church afterwards. I mean, I just couldn't stop it. It was like a tidal wave of tears that lasted for 2 hours. And I just sobbed and cried. I didn't know I had that much water inside of me. And when I finished, it was crazy. I thought I would have a terrible headache. I thought I would look like death warmed over, but I didn't. I looked like I'd just woken up from a great sleep. I felt light as a feather, and I was just amazed at how the mercy of God could bring me such relief. These were sins that I had already, you know, I had already confessed, but obviously I was carrying around a lot of weight still from all of those things. And so it was incredible. I never thought that I could cry that long and feel so good afterwards, but I did.
Mary, I'm so glad that you explained the general confession, because I was going to go ahead and explain it for our listeners as well. The one thing I just wanted to share, too, that sometimes if you just go on a regular Saturday or a weekday confession and you walk into the confessional and you ask for a general confession, the priest may say, you know, make an appointment, because it does take longer. It is something, you know, you want to really, really prayerfully enter into, because it is basically a lifetime confession. You're doing an examination of conscience throughout your whole life, and depending on how old you are, that could be a lot of things you have to take into consideration. But what you experienced is what I was trying to share at the beginning of the show. But you experienced it through your example was your experience, and I think it is so beautiful, because it goes back to what we were sharing with Kathy on how when you are completely free, when you go to that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, and you are free of all these things you're holding on to, or the baggage that you have, or whatever, and then you go and receive Holy Communion, there is something that comes over you that you just know. You just know it. You know it's right. You know it feels right. It's there. It's spot on for your soul. And I'm hoping Kathy's listening to that, because I think it ties right back in to how the Eucharist is. We've got to be educating our families on the Eucharist. It's very, very important. Because, Mary, because you went through that general confession, you were able to receive Holy Communion in just a very pure state. And that's, you know, you had all these tears, and then you felt light afterwards. Well, of course, you were free. You were so close. You were like 1 foot in heaven. You know, that's amazing, Mary. I love your story. I love your example of it. I pray that you continue to share your story with others, because there's so many that are carrying that heavy figurative suitcase around, and they carry it around strapped to their backs all day long, and it really can be let go of with the sacrament of reconciliation and Holy Communion. Mary, what do you think? Did I tap into that okay?
Absolutely. And I'll just say one other thing. I mean, like I admitted, the day before, I was just, I mean, it was obviously spiritual warfare. It was such an important thing for me to do that, the deceiver had every wish to keep me from going. And, even my husband, he said, why don't you go to the church? You know, he saw how just in agony I was. And I said, I can't, you know, and, I just want to encourage anyone who is feeling that this weight of, you know, it's going to be too hard, or I can't do this, I'm feeling this weight, I want to avoid this, to push through, because really and truly it's just kind of a false facade, you know, it's smoke and mirrors. If you just push through and go ahead and go, the gift that is waiting for you and the graces that are just, it's impossible to describe. So do it anyway.
Well, you just did a very good job of describing it, Mary, and I think you're making a very, very good point as well, and that is when we are striving for holiness, to grow closer to God, to clean our souls up, to let God really, really, truly take possession of our wills and our lives, then the enemy does not want that to happen, and we are going to experience discouragement, doubts, obstacles. We're gonna experience feelings like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, why I wanted to do that for 6 months, and now the day before, it's like all of a sudden I don't want to do it, or I'm afraid, or I'm frightened. Like you said, we got to push through that, and freedom is on the other side. So thank you, Mary. Thank you for your great witness here on the program today. We appreciate that so much, Debbie. You know, EWTN has pilgrimage available. I just want to remind people, because I think they're still going on during Lent and the Easter season. So don't forget about this, folks. If you want to get away to a quiet, peaceful, serene place, the final resting place of Mother Angelica, visit EWTN. If you're looking for a unique setting for spiritual renewal, even during the Lenten season, you can make a pilgrimage to EWTN and the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Go to EWTN.com/pilgrimage and you can get more details about that.
And that's a great way to jumpstart your faith. So I highly recommend pilgrimages. Okay, Paul, in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius XM 130, you're up next on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, Paul. Thanks for calling.
First time I've ever called into a radio station. But I'm actually traveling. I'm in the Boston area, but I just stopped at my station on EWTN, and I heard the topic, and it was just seems like divine intervention. I shed tears every day for a situation that I live. It's very painful. On Christmas morning, 2017, I lost my 4-year-old grandson to the flu, and he was my first grandson, and he lived in San Antonio with his mom and dad, who were both Air Force doctors, both worked at San Antonio Military Medical Center, and they couldn't save him. He died of H3N2, I believe. But anyways, my son and I grew up very close. My daughter and I were very close. They have two other boys. And after Leon passed away, they've detached themselves from myself and the rest of my family. And I've tried getting in touch with them. I've sent them cards, letters. They've moved, the Air Force has moved them to another base. It took me months to find out their address. I go to grief counseling, and I go to grief counseling in a church, kind of a spiritual counseling, and it seems like I'm going in circles. I'm very faithful. I pray the rosary daily. I have my entire life. I know there's a divine answer in all this. I'm a grieving grandfather for my loss of my grandson, and I'm also grieving from the loss of my son. And it's just too much pain, too much pain. And I just want to ask for people to pray. My son's name is Tony. My daughter's name is Laura. I just want to ask, please pray for Tony and Laura.
Okay, and your grandson's name, Paul? First name?
His name is Leon. You can look, there's a I don't know if I could say this on the air. It's a nonprofit organization for him. It's called Leon's Foundation. My son and daughter-in-law this past summer were on in October, actually, were on Anderson Cooper.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
They've been in People magazine. They were on a, they're out trying to spread the word for parents to get their kids immunized with the flu shot.
Right.
But
right.
I just want to say something real quick. When I saw my grandson Tristan, who was two, I saw him and Leon. I FaceTimed them a week before Christmas in 2017. I hadn't seen Tristan again until he was on Anderson Cooper in October, and it just crushed me. Mm-hmm. So I can't get in touch with my son, and I know my counselors have told me it's his way of dealing with his pain.
Right, right. Okay, Paul, we're up against the clock, so let me go real quickly. I want to say a couple things. Please, please email us if you'd like to continue this a little bit in a deeper way. It's take2@ewtn.com. We already have the Take Two family praying for you, Paul, and for your entire family and for your beautiful grandson. But here's the thing, Paul. You're going to these grief sessions, and that's good. Please keep that up. If that's not serving you well, then find other support groups that can help you through this. You're a devout Catholic. You're a faithful Catholic. Remember something. You are the closest you ever could possibly be, even more so than if he was right in front of you and you had your arms around him. You are closer than you could possibly ever be in the Eucharist to your grandson. So please remember that. You have to keep that in the forefront of your mind. Otherwise, the grief will become overwhelming. Okay. As for your son, I'm not sure if you mentioned if they were Catholic or not or practicing Catholic. We're going to start praying. What I would suggest you would do, Paul, is dedicate some really deep novenas like Lady Undoer of Knots. I would also pray to your guardian angel to tap his guardian angel. You're going to have to enlist the complete heavenly support, Paul, to get you through this. Okay, but let me share something with you. You are not alone. The grief you are feeling, that is a great way for Satan to come in and say, see, Paul, you're all alone. This is overwhelming. You can't handle this. This is too much. That's not true. That's a lie. You have so much protection and support around you, Paul. You have to be able to tap into it, but you need eyes of faith. You need to have spiritual trust. Otherwise, it's going to be overwhelming. There's so much more I can say about this, but please, Paul, if you could email us, I think we could maybe provide some more resources and conversation that could help you at least keep this going and get you in a right frame of mind to be able to deal with this. And we're sorry for the loss of your grandson. We are so sorry. No words could ever take away the pain you're feeling. But I can tell you one thing. God wants you to thrive. He doesn't want you to be overwhelmed by this. Jerry?
Yeah, beautifully said, Debbie. Paul, I can't say a whole lot more than that except to promise you, you asked for prayers, and I think, Debbie, you may have said the whole Take-Two family is going to be praying for you, Paul. Debbie and I, the show team, the Take-Two family around the world, Paul. There's the one thing about our family. We are a praying a radio family, and we have listeners all around the world, so we hope and pray that you will feel that at least a little bit of peace, a little bit of consolation in the midst of this grief that you're going through. And as Debbie said, keep doing the things that you're doing, going to the grief group, and just trust in God. And you are closer to your grandson than you ever could be, even if you were holding him in your arms, because we have to believe that he is with God. So, Paul, what do you think? I mean, does any of that provide a little bit of, a tiny bit of consolation? I know it's difficult.
Yeah, yes, it certainly does. I think this whole just turning the station at the time I did was all intervention by the Holy Spirit. So I can't thank you enough, and I will email you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Paul, will you
do us
a favor, please? We're very, very selfish here at Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Will you pray for us too, please? Because we know that when we're going through hard times and grief and sorrow and pain, our prayers are most efficacious. And we always beg. We're spiritual beggars here at the show, Paul. We always ask people to pray for us too. Would you be so kind as to do that for us?
You will be in my rosary this day.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
We need it and we appreciate it.
And we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Take two, the number two, at EWTN.com. Marie and Karen and the others, we are out of time today, but Debbie and I, just typing notes to each other, just made an executive decision. We do this occasionally when we have an impactful show that we just really want to carry over. So, Karen, if you can call tomorrow, we'll get you right to the front of the line. Marie, same with you in Olathe, Kansas. This has just been, a powerful show, Debbie. So, Karen and Marie, please, I hope and pray your schedules allow you to call tomorrow, because we'd love to get you on the air. We just don't have time today. If you cannot call tomorrow, please feel free to email us, and we will be happy to share whatever it is that you email to us on the air. So, wow.
This was huge. I just want to reiterate something, you know, that Paul said, that this was divine, intervention. Absolutely. That's the way the good Lord, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. There's no accident with God. He is reaching out to us. He's tapping us. He's doing everything he can to let us know that he is there. This was a great show for all of us, Jerry. I think a very healing show, and I can't wait for part two tomorrow.
Yeah, so there you go. We were going to promote a different topic, which we already had to bump because of another reason. So maybe that topic may never see the light of day, Debbie. But
true.
We're going to do part two of Have Tears Been Cleansing for You tomorrow here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Until then, Debbie and I, Rich, Jeff, Ryan, and the entire show team, thanks to the affiliates. Thanks to you for listening. Keep us in your prayers, and you will be in ours. God bless.